This podcast is in no way affiliated with the Stars production or Diana Gabaldone. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted, the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat. Welcome to episode 291 of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander. You spend a third of your life in sheets. It's about time for a bedding upgrade. Brooklinen makes it possible to get amazingly comfortable sheets at home for an even more amazing price.
Brooklinen was the first direct-to-consumer bedding company, meaning they work directly with manufacturers and directly with customers, no middlemen, just a great product and service.
Mix and match over 25 colors and patterns to make your bedroom just right. I got my sheets in graphite and steel Oxford stripe to perfectly complement my charcoal comforter.
My Brooklinen sheets are so comfy, I don't want to get out of bed. They're smooth and soft, and I love that they go with my entire bedroom decor and color scheme. I got a completely white set.
My Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on. Now it's time for your upgrade. Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer for just our listeners. Get 10% off your first order and free shipping when you use promo code Outlander at Brooklinen.com.
Brooklinen is so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get 10% off your first order and free shipping is to use promo code Outlander at Brooklinen.com. That's Brooklinen.com. Promo code Outlander.
Brooklinen. These really are the best sheets ever. So announcements this week. I'm sure there's something Outlander related, but before we get to that, I think, Ginger, you need to give us all an update. What happened to you this week?
Oh, Lord. You mean like 2 nights ago?
I mean, let's put it this
way. 2 nights ago, 3 nights ago.
It started with you had a sick baby at home. And to compound that, what have you done?
I got into a fight with my trunk.
The trunk of your car or the trunk of your
car? That's my party line. Huh?
The trunk of your car or the trunk of an elephant?
Oh, no, my pet elephant. Summer, come on now. No, my car trunk. I did something to my ring finger and also my pinky, I found out hurts, which I didn't know it hurt until the doctor kind of, you know, played around with it. And I was like, oh, that hurts too. The doctor thinks it will continue to, you know, subside and I will be able to be, you know, it should return to normal. My ring finger got caught. No, it didn't get slammed. I moved it out from under the trunk, not before it ripped. And there was no laceration. There was no like blood. There was actually no swelling or bruising that we could see like that entire evening. So all this to say, I know how I injured it because I was there. I don't know what it is. You guys have seen me talk if you've seen any of our live after shows. I'm very animated with my hands.
She's a gesticulator.
Oh, Lord, just a little bit and not Italian that we know of. So, yeah, I move a lot with my hands or am expressive with my hands. And so just going through my daily life, let alone like when I'm in, you know, going to bed, like I am just so afraid. I have, even with this silly splint, I have hurt myself. And even before it grew like a foot longer. So, yeah. So he's like, you don't really need that unless, you know, unless it makes you feel comfortable or whatever. So, yeah.
And this is her mouse hand, y'all.
So, this is my dominant hand.
So as you listen to our podcast this week, please think of Ginger and know that she had to suffer through a lot of clicking and mouse handling with an injured hand. So Ginger, we appreciate you.
Thank you.
You don't know how lucky you are, Ginger. Rings are notoriously dangerous. Ring injuries are notoriously dangerous.
Ring fingers?
Ring injuries. Injuries that
I wasn't even wearing a ring.
I thought you said your ring got caught. Opa said your ring finger. Oh, I thought Dad said your ring got caught.
No, that's the funny thing, because normally I am wearing a ring on that finger.
Well, you're lucky, because you know what happened to my friend in seventh grade? We went to middle school together and she was playing tetherball and somehow got her ring caught on like a screw on the pole. And when she tried to pull her hand down, sheathed her entire finger.
Shut up.
Had to get most of her ring finger removed. She lost the top two joints of her finger. Yeah, that was. And can you imagine losing almost your entire ring finger in seventh grade?
I mean, no.
I mean, I don't want to lose my ring finger now, but I can't imagine going through your whole life. And it was her ring finger, like your marriage ring finger.
It's not funny what happened, but I'm wondering, like, how is that an announcement?
My part?
No, you said announcements. Ginger, take it away.
Well, I find it an announcement because there's been a lot of cryptic tweets.
I haven't really
I'm going to be quiet this week. It's pretty quiet. I think everyone knows that's not normal. And I think if you don't tell them, they'll wonder.
I also said due to a hand or injury that I acquired.
Well, now we all know because I didn't even have the whole story.
Yes. You didn't? I didn't tell you?
No.
I mean, it's literally only, it happened during the week. And
clearly
during the week,
you
summer
didn't
night,
because I heard from dad that you got a ring caught on a trunk. So clearly I didn't get the whole story.
Look, I mean, things happen. Maybe someone has had a ring incident with the trunk. I am not going to judge. I have no idea. I wasn't there. But no, it was a ring finger.
Still.
And ouch. I can't explain it. Something ripped, though. I swear to you, something ripped.
Then my last announcement is that as of, well, we'll say today is irrelevant because today is not when you guys will be listening to this. But on the day that we are recording, we are exactly 19 days out from 2019 Pod Abroad. It's coming. It's happening. I don't know if you know that, but it's happening. And while we may not have any slots available this year and we're taking next year off, if it's something you guys are interested in, we will start a waiting list, I'm sure, somewhere for our Pod Abroad 2021 tour. And on that note, it's time for our read-along. This week, we will be continuing our The Fiery Cross read-along with chapter 12 entitled Virtue.
Eileen P. writes, Virtue. Surely the chapter title cannot be referring to Lizzie. We've been informed that she began... Oh, Lord have mercy. I have to read this.
Apparently. You know better.
Oh, Lord, Eileen. We've been informed that she began menstruating at the gathering. And with that surprise, first visit from Aunt Flo... comes raging hormones. To be blunt, Lizzie is in heat. Does that mean she's a woman of wanton morals? Not yet, but after observing her flirting, Jamie determines that he needs to find her a husband. All I can say is he'd better be quick about it.
He doesn't have a chance. You know what's funny though?
What?
I was listening to this chapter and at the end at the end of it, when they're talking about Josiah Beardsley, right? And there he's like, well, why did you tell him you'd do that? And he goes, I want him, Sassenach. And I'm like, what? And then he explains why, and he's like, how he's 14. And when he first says that he's 14, my first thought was, oh, well, Lizzie's only whatever, and he wants to get her married. And then he went back and was talking about the other things. But I immediately went to, well, maybe he's looking for somebody around Lizzie's age, because there's nobody else on the hill, on the mountain, on the ridge, that is in the same age range, you know, and bringing somebody there that can be in the age range for her. That was like my first jump. And then he went on to say that anyone under the age of 16 didn't have to, weren't automatically conscripted. Is that the right term?
For the age group, age range? Yeah.
Yeah. So my brain went a bunch of different places, but I had lots of fun with this chapter with innuendos that I created in my own head.
So when I started my notes... one-handed. Now I've graduated to, I'm a little more, it's like, you know, when, well, for me, if I get an injury, I like baby the heck out of it because you're still kind of feeling it out. You all you know is it hurts and you don't, why are you laughing?
If you get in anything, you baby the heck out of it.
What does that mean? If I get a new notebook, I baby the heck out of a notebook?
No. I just mean any kind of injury or anything. I'm just saying.
I just said injury. That covers anything that is an injury.
I know, but it's like injuries, but it's like if you have a new... And I had to get up early this week. No, I'm not going out late tonight because I woke up early this morning. Like you have very...
No,
you have very definitive boundaries that you have.
The whole thing about the early late thing it's not, I mean, if something comes up that is either stupendous or amazing or like, you know, one off, I can and do make exceptions. The problem is I have to leave my house, and I know you leave early too. I have to leave my house at 6:30 to arrive at work at by 7, depending on traffic, 7:10, 7:15, whatever. But the drive is like 45 minutes one way. And it's so funny that if you don't make 6:30 or if you just wait like, you know, 5 or 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah. You miss the window. It's dead.
Oh, exactly. And a few years ago, it was actually worse. Like it was better in what I was doing. So in 2016, I started back to going to the gym. And I was like, you know, I want to make this, you know, an important part of my life. And I still had the same commute, same schedule. And in order for me to get it done, I know myself that whatever I'm doing, it will not happen when I get home. When I am home in the evening, I am done, right? I might go out, I might not, I might stay in, I might get in my PJs, I might Netflix and chill, whatever I do.
You don't even if I go visit and chill.
Shush, you don't know what I do.
You don't Netflix, Ginger. You don't Summer. Netflix and chill, I promise.
Anyway, if I go visit my sister or hang out with my parents, you know?
And we definitely don't Netflix and chill.
I did not say that.
Lola is a company founded by women for women, offering a line of organic cotton tampons, pads, liners, and all-natural cleansing wipes.
Major brands use a mix of synthetic ingredients in their products, including rayon and polyester. Their feminine care products may also be treated with harsh chemical cleansing agents, fragrance, and dyes. Lola products are 100% organic cotton with no added chemicals, fragrances, synthetics, or dies.
And Lola makes your month a little bit easier. With their fully customizable subscription service, you can choose your mix of products, mix of absorbency, number of boxes, frequency of delivery, and it's super flexible. You can change, skip, or cancel your subscription at any time.
I love the convenience of Lola. Gone are the mad last-minute rushes to the store. Lola is delivered right to my door in a well-designed, discreet box.
And with Lola's 100% organic cotton and BPA-free tampon applicators, you can be worry-free about what you're putting in your body.
For 40% off all subscriptions, visit mylola.com and enter Outlander when you subscribe.
That's 40% off of all subscriptions when you enter Outlander at mylola.com.
Even if I have not an event, but like an outing or a relaxing dinner or whatever, even if I have evening plans, I'm usually mindful about kind of the time. Again, unless it's a one-off or a very, very special occasion. So in 2016, when I was like pretty whole hog going much more regularly to the gym, is in order for me to do it, because I knew I had to leave wherever I was, I'd get up at 5 and leave by, you know, I'd be dressed or whatever and leave by 5:10 and get there by 5:30 or 5:20. And I would do a half an hour to 40 minutes and shower and just, you know, get dressed and get to work. The other days, I did 2 days a week, I swam. And because I won't go too much into that, but because of the way they have limited lanes and, you know, first come, first serve, and you can't save a lane and all that. So I got to the gym, like literally waiting outside, like by probably 4:50. Was waiting in front of the door by 4:55. I didn't even go to the locker room. I went straight to the gym and dropped my shiz there, because by me going into the locker room, people who were there also early to get a swim lane would have gotten my freaking lane. So anyway, all that to say, during that year especially, I was getting up really early, consistently. And so you learn real quick, you know, to adjust your evening time to be able to get a decent night's sleep and get up so early. So I think during that time, those kinds of schedules, when I have those, definitely I am much more protective. I'm still protective of my sleep, but I don't have to get up at, you know, 4:30 or 5. I probably get up at about 5:30, 5:45. But yeah, no, you're not wrong. And then I have it, that I'm protective of my kind of the hours-ish sleep and the evening time and everything. I'm protective of my hand right now. So let's go back to the chapter.
I was going to say, you might want to edit some of that down.
I don't know how we got so far.
That was real long.
You're protective of your time. Yes, let me tell you how. As I started... Actually, it was your fault because you said I was protective of everything. And I asked you to tell me how. And you mentioned schedule and all that and or sleep. And I'm like, okay, let me tell you how. So as I was preparing my notes one-handed, that was, as I said, like the babying like decreases, kind of like you give it all the support and you start little by little taking away support until you're standing on your own, young child. I'm still wearing the, what do we call it? The, not the sling, the splint. But I've learned like the first day I had to write the first day or two, I just had to use my left hand because I can't write. Like there's, even though I don't write with my ring finger, I couldn't get
you
enough.
Don't?
No, I mean, not with it only. I have like, I grip my pen with a number of fingers and my middle finger, sorry, my ring finger is out of commission. And I couldn't bring my middle finger down enough to help grip without causing pain in the other finger. So I just didn't even try it. Well, today I was at a class, an event thing, and I was filling out, or even last night, I was filling out some paperwork, and I just grabbed a pen and I just used my thumb and forefinger, index finger. And I was able to grasp the pen and just very slowly have really decently controlled handwriting that actually looked like my handwriting. But I can't do it very long because of the angle I'm holding it at. It, like, I'm starting to have like forearm pain and then tendon pain, like, oh, not hand tendon, but like the tendons are the origins are in your elbow or in your forearm. So anyway, as I was little by little, but when I took the note and I typed them up, I was at the baby it like 100% stage, and I'm slowly coming off of that.
So you're saying you can't read your own notes?
No. I typed them.
Oh.
Of course I can. But that's why it was even slower, because typing one-handed is kind of ridiculous, and it's not funny because it's not fun, but whatever.
You didn't just type with your one ridiculously long finger?
No, because I will never. My accuracy would be terrible. So in case y'all didn't know or needed a reminder, we're still at the gathering. Oh, well, not even that. We're still at the last day of the gathering, even though we seem to be dragging it out even now. DG mentions, quote, the sweet sadness of leave taking, unquote. And I wrote, nope.
Well,
we're done.
But she goes on to explain, and you think about it, some of these people will never see each other ever again. And
on not this just, earth.
Right. And not just because of the climate or the coming war, but, you know, they're old people. They're just old and old for this time period, old people. So when they all go their separate ways, they may never leave their houses again. Like, to go this great of a distance. So imagine going to a family reunion, which is what this is, a giant family reunion, and knowing you may never see these people again. This may be the last time you ever see these people. So because they're so, even though they might all be in the same general area, it's not easy to get from where they live to this place. So, I mean, it's a big deal.
Though Claire enjoyed meeting new people and the professional challenge that her clinic brought her, she was super ready to get back to the Ridge. And she's very ready to go, Jamie. Thank you very much. So Claire, while recounting all the lovely ailments and conditions of her own party, such as the baby's crying and the mom's the mom's with the caked or cracked nipples, and then this person was this, and we're having trouble with the pot. I mean, it's a very hectic thing in her surroundings right now. And as she's recounting all the things that are kind of effed up right now, small things, but in her face.
But think about it, though. Think about those awful things. All of those things are like obnoxious and annoying things when you're at your house. But imagine having all of those things while you're camping.
Right? Because that's what it is. Camping. It is camping. So she, among all the things that are just in her face right now, the dirt and the mud and the rain and the nappies and her no longer has her underskirt thing, and you can't dry anything because it rains, and then it like is the best you get is damp. So all this stuff. She starts her own monthly.
You know, nobody likes to bleed alone.
And you know, with Lizzie now, they're twinsies. So what do we think about that? Since Eileen claims that Lizzie's in heat.
Well, Claire is not in heat. She would like nothing to do.
No,
she wants, of course, she's in a totally different stage. She's in a totally different stage of the period. Because the day one, you don't want to touch anything or be touched by anyone. Day one hurts, depending on you. I don't know your body, but But after the cramps are gone and you're not feeling gross and whatever, then you could be more open to the other things. But you kind of don't you go in technically, wouldn't you say you were in heat before the bleeding starts? So Lizzie probably shouldn't be in heat anymore.
So Claire goes on a cursing spree en français while getting into a fight with her kettle.
Around the worst child to have a French curse fit in front of.
Spoiler, Claire, metal will always win against human, as my finger found out.
But think about it. She could have cursed in French in front of any child in the entire gathering and gotten away with it, but she did it in front of Sherman.
Yes, but I'm talking about how she got injured. Now, her injury was not like mine in that it wasn't a force trauma. It was heat. But I'm just saying, anything with metal, like be wary of metal because it will bite or sting.
Oh my
but
God.
Yes, like the best child to have those cursings around.
The worst thing about picking up something hot is that you can't just set it anywhere.
So I mean, I do.
But wait for it. But this is my brain because this happened just last weekend. I picked something up and it was one of my cast iron pans. So sometimes the handles get really hot. So I had picked it up and I had started because I was going to take it over to the sink to put more water in it. And I got about halfway to the sink. The whole time it's like burning my hands and I'm looking for a place I can set it other than back on the stove and hopefully the sink. I finally had to set it down on the floor in the middle of the kitchen. But I was just like, that was dumb. But I was like, because I'm like, I could have just could have gone 2 feet further. I could have just dropped it in the sink, but I had to drop it on the on the ground. But I didn't immediately drop it back on the stove. I walked a few feet while it burned my hands. It was not a smart move.
The scene where Claire is nursing her burned hand, Jemmy and Joan are screeching, Germain is singing curses, and Lizzie is moaning under her bush.
Oh, that's a bad choice.
And it starts to hail. She puts the new slut cap on her head.
Can we not talk about Lizzie moaning under a bush? That sounds bad.
I know. Like, but Diana wrote it. I'm like, that's hysterical. I have to include that. Jamie arrives with Father Donahue. Is it Kenneth? I think it was, what I wrote was Father Donahue or D. Claire is still pissy about Bonnet, which was a conversation from chapter 11. And then Jamie proceeds to josh her about the slut cap. Timing, Jamie. Timing.
He doesn't know she bleeding yet. He doesn't know why she's cranky. She's got lots of reason to be cranky. She just started her period in the middle of the wilderness. She has to use a damp pad.
On her camping trip.
That's
just gross. Can we go back to that? I mean, you use what you have. I am not like throwing shade at that because you use what you have. But are you kidding me? There's nothing worse than being cold in the damp and having to put something cold and damp against your skin in the cold and the damp.
Especially in one of your warm spots. That's like one of your warm spots.
That's true.
So all of that, and she just burned her hand. She has a laundry list of reasons to be cranky, and he's going to come up and start messing with her?
Yes.
He doesn't know what. Yes. He does not realize the bear he is poking.
Jamie gets the pot for her after shutting up Germain's stream of French cursing, singing with a sweetie. Claire throws down the slut cap and stomps on it. He gets her point that she's not in a mood to be joked with. And as he slowly lets go of her, she was about to burst into tears, so he walks her away for some peace. He takes her away to have a little bit of peace from the scene that's around them. She's frazzled, and he sees she has cramps. She says, yes, I'll boil some willow bark tea, but it takes an hour or something like that. And he says, uh-uh, and he gives her some whiskey. And it was about 20-year-old good stuff, scotch from Jocasta. And Jamie reminds us all that he remembers her courses, and she hasn't had it. He confirms with her. It's been 3 months, right? And then she educates him about, not necessarily about the cycle, but about how it becomes erratic. Because Jamie thought if it's been a few months and eventually it stops for women or for each woman, if it's been 3 months, Jamie's like, I thought it was done. And she's like, that's not how it happens. It comes erratic and then eventually like feathers off or it goes away. So she educates him a little bit on the pause.
The menopause.
On the pause. On the apostrophe pause, yes. Eileen P. writes, while Lizzie is dealing with being on the rag for the first time. Eileen!
You know, woman. Literally, because they're just, you know, sitting
exactly,
on damp rags.
That's true. We learn Claire is perimenopausal. Jamie has mentioned in the past that Claire is regular as clockwork. Well, no more. Not only is her cycle erratic, but it decided to come at the gathering. We can perhaps blame this on Lizzie and menstrual synchrony.
It's not only at the gathering, it's at the end of the gathering, which means it's going to be during the traveling, which honestly, I don't know anything worse than it would
than
be
travel.
Like, yeah, like while you're, especially like the kind of travel they're doing. It's not like they're in a car driving between mini marts where they can pick up dry pads or dry tampons. Like,
this is actually a very good episode to have Lola as a sponsor. It's too bad
they
Lola.
Don't have Lola to deliver to their campsite.
It's too bad Lizzie and Claire that Lola couldn't be of help this time.
<That's> so funny. And I want you to know that had last week not had to be a push week, it would have been last week.
That's funny.
It wouldn't have been the same chapter.
Nope.
That's
so
perfect.
Do we need to put
too
Lola
perfect.
In our title?
No.
Okay. In any case, Claire needs My Doll or Pamperin, but she's in the wrong century. Hmm. Jamie helps her out
with
some
willow
whiskey.
Bark. She's trying willow bark.
She has it, and she's going to make the tea, but it takes a long time, so Jamie gives her the whiskey. Ah, ambrosia. The only thing I don't understand is why this sounds like the first time Claire has used alcohol to relieve menstrual cramps. Claire the Lush? Can't be possible. I don't think she went through the 1940s, 50s, and 60s boiling willow bark. She must have figured out the medicinal benefits of alcoholic beverages during the red tide early on. Good Lord! Eileen, you're dropping them all!
She's feisty this week.
She's feisty.
Any more
euphemisms? And again, with
she's
Lola.
Riding the, has she said, is she riding the crimson wave yet? That's another one. What are some more?
Not yet. I don't know, but let me finish what she says. We'll find out. Okay. Even so, props to Jamie for keeping track of Claire's period and apparently every female farm animal cycle and providing the whiskey. He's a keeper. They don't call him King of Men for nothing. Jamie is the act first and ask forgiveness later type. And by that, what do I mean, Sam?
What now? Sorry, I'm looking up euphemisms for period.
Okay, let's get back into the chat and you can go back. Google will still be there. I said Jamie is the act first ask forgiveness later type. Now, what do I mean by that here?
In this particular chapter? That he promised a surgery to someone without consulting Claire.
Yep. And not even just promise a surgery. Promise that she'd do it right there that day.
Right now. All right.
Right now.
Pause. Here's some favorite period euphemisms.
Okay, hold on. You can do that. I don't remember another time, and it's very possible that there has been more than one, but nothing as far as finding like a list of euphemisms for a thing. The one that I remember the most is the one that you and I split up and talked about the different words for
penises.
Penis. Remember that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord. We still get, I don't say fan mail. We still get email
mail.
Comments about that and how it, I mean, it's hard. It was hard to read.
You ready?
Okay, go ahead.
We have
go ahead.
Aunt Flo, surfing the crimson wave. That's what I just said. Ladies Week, Nature's Mess, Menzies, which is appropriate. On the Blob. I've never heard that one, but it's kind of funny.
That sounds very British.
I know. Shark Week. I've heard that one.
That's
cool. Here's one. The Moon Sickness.
Well, that's funny.
Oh. That's funny, but it's not. Okay, it says a Leona situation, i.e. Bleeding Love. Happy fun
what
lady time. Remember the song Bleeding Love by Leona?
No.
Keep no. bleeding, I keep bleeding love.
I that didn't one. Know who it was by.
Leona
and I forgot
something.
The tune, but yeah, I know that. Okay, that's funny.
Someone says, I liked it when Tina Fey referred to it as Aunt Blood. Having the paint. That's what it says. Having the painters in. Falling to the communists.
Oh, Lord.
A Pez dispenser. At my girls' school, say they're flying because of the wraparound wings. Molly's come to visit. Her four-year-old sister calls it Nappy Week. Code Red. Arsenal are playing at home.
That is British.
Yeah, a lot of these are. A lot of these, it's the curse. The Red Sea is flowing. Lunar flow. Ordering Ew. Ordering l'omelette rouge, the red egg, I guess. I don't know. Red eggs?
Red omelette.
Yeah. Aunt Irma's in town, Bloody Mary, Dracula's teabag.
Blech. Oh, that's gross.
Lucifer's waterfall. I could do that one. That one works for me.
I know.
Having your fairies. Hiding. <That's-> Hiding from Joffrey.
Oh, my goodness.
Bernard, that makes no sense, but I'll buy it. Anyway, just this little short list of them. I enjoyed some of those. That's funny.
So Jamie has promised Josiah Beardsley that Claire would take out his tonsils that day. Why? Jamie wants him as
he
a tenant.
He wants him, just period. That's how it was in the book when she read it. She's like, that's because how I want him, like, Sassenach. And I'm like, huh?
I want him. What? Excuse me? Exactly. Have things changed now that I don't know about? Right? He's 14. He's too young to serve in the militia. So Jamie's planning to, he is planning on raising the militia, but he's thinking of all the old and young and non-able-bodied men he can leave behind to watch over the land and take care of it and the tenants. Claire mentions that the women should be able to manage by themselves with no crops to bring in because it's already winter or already almost winter. And he says Josiah is a hunter and a good one, so he can help provide. Not just provide food, but also the hunting in winter is usually for pelts or for furs. So that is one thing that will get that they can trade with. That's like the best currency.
That's the winter crops.
Yeah. So the deal is Claire will operate, and in exchange, Josiah will get land, help putting up a cabin, and he will go halvesies with Jamie on any hides he can bring in.
Yeah, but the original suggestion or the original agreement that Jamie came to with him was she'll do it right now, and then you can run off and take care of some business and perhaps die of an infection and then come and meet us on the ridge later. And Claire's like, that's a terrible idea. We're going to go ahead and
she tries to tell
that.
Him it's not a simple matter, but he points out that Josiah wouldn't be coming with them to the ridge right away. He had business he had to take care of, and he would arrive by December. And he then points out, like, look, you like basically did it quick and dirty with the dog.
Maybe you need to rephrase that. Dog. I'm going to need you to rephrase that.
No, I leave it just like it is. Jamie says, okay, fine. We can wait till he gets to the ridge. So using biblical reference, Jamie asks her if she'll not want him. Like, are you not like into me now? And she says she'd castrate him if having a longer discussion. And by biblical, I'll mention it wasn't just like because of her age and da da da. I think she used
the Abraham and Sarah
or Abraham and
is it Rachel?
No, Rebecca? Rachel is down. No, let's just stop. Arnold. So I think it's whoever's Abraham's wife. So I think it was Sarah. But anyway, Abraham's wife was older and past childbearing years when she Sarah. Got with child. Was I right?
Right?
Okay.
Sarah.
So Sarah got with child at a, I don't have the exact age, but at a very ripe age and past age,
like
an age that.
Weren't they like 80 and like 500? Like, it was ridiculous. It was like,
maybe
Abraham was like, oh, I mean, this is biblical calendar. So I don't know if they marked time the same way we do now. So, for instance, in the Old Testament, how old did Noah live? Wasn't he like 200 to 300 years old?
Some of supposedly I've read accounts that say that people, maybe not Noah, but some people were like 800 or something.
Yeah, so I think they had a different calendar. That's just my guess.
Maybe their bodies were better.
Maybe. Who can say? Point being, I am not a biblical scholar, but...
What?
I know. Don't be shocked. Don't be shocked. I know that came out of the field. I know. But if I remember correctly, they were both, like, very old. Like, not remotely in childbearing age groups when this happened. Like, it was a ridiculous.
So he's like, look, okay, this happened in the Bible. Now, if something happened with us, what would you do? And
cut it off. That's what she did.
And
do.
She
cut
says she castrate him if he got her with child at this point, but she won't refuse him once he has an actual bed. Eileen P. writes, as Claire's perimenopause is new territory for Jamie, he has some concerns. Namely, when she's in menopause, will Claire still desire him? How many women laughed when they read that? Smack my head. And Mr. Weems, Lizzie's dad, comes to tell Jamie of some axe trouble. Rosamond Lindsay with Ronnie Sinclair. And Jamie's like, oh, I'm going to have to go handle this shiz. Then Marsley comes over to share that Father D, or Kenneth, I think.
We're going to not Donahue. Call him Father D, please.
Why?
Come on. You know why.
Father Donahue, or Father Kenneth, I think they call him, has been arrested by a sheriff. Then Bree comes up with a problem for him to solve. He's like, later. He says to find out where Father Kenneth has been taken. So what began as a chapter of Claire being sensorially and situationally and emotionally overwhelmed has ended as a chapter with Claire more calmed and now Jamie more frazzled and some weddings to save.
I have a question for you. Uh-huh. So when Claire decides that she's twinning...
I don't think she decided.
When her body decides that she's twinning with Lizzie,
okay,
and yep, she runs off with a damp cloth or whatever, she describes it as duck walking and keeping her thighs together. And I'm like, that's not, I've never seen a duck walk with their thighs together. So I'm trying to understand what, because like, I also think of other bird related walking patterns like penguins or like goose steps. You know how they say goose steps? That's how the, like the Nazis used to walk that. So I'm like, I'm trying to understand what exactly a duck step would be. What do you think?
I think it's
like a waddle?
Like a waddle. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And that was chapter 12. Join us next time when we will be discussing chapter 13 entitled Beans and Barbecue. And now I'm hungry.
It's just one chapter? That's good.
Hold it's on. 30 pages. You should.
I didn't say that. I said, I was trying to say S-S-H or F, and I was like,
okay, well, I want you to know that the every now and again there's a hiccup in your sound quality through my headphones. So, and it happened to happen right in the middle
so
of.
So you didn't know if I was.
So it sounded like you said the
other. Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Okay.
If you'd like to join in and contribute to our read along, please go to www.outlanderpod.com/fierycross. There you will find a link to see which chapters are available for tagging on. And if you type a little message in the comment section and let me know what chapters you're interested in, I will put you down.
And as always, we'd love you to join our Facebook community to continue the conversation. You can join us at outlanderpod.com/group. So thank you guys as always so much for listening. We look forward to our next episode. Thank you to our generous partner, Zencastr, who offers high-fidelity podcasting. Check out Zencastr and use coupon code OUTLANDER20, OUTLANDER20, for 20% off 3 months or 20% off for a year. Connect with us. Visit our website at outlanderpod.com. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/outlanderpod. We'd love for you to join our Facebook community at outlanderpod.com/group. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at outlanderpod.